The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Welcome to another final hooter. And David, two more rounds of Super League done and dusted. And it gets better as the weeks go by.
It certainly does, yeah. I mean, we saw Catalan Dragons actually manage to win their first game of the season last week.
And I bet they had a bit of a party because they like to have a party in Perpignan.
They certainly do. I bet the wine was flowing. I bet it was. But also as
bit
well...
of cheese and grapes to celebrate.
Probably the highlight from round five for me the week before was Huddersfield's battering. If, I think we can say that, of Bradford Bulls. I mean, Bradford, they've been torn apart, haven't they, by crisis. They've been deducted points for going into administration. And, well, they were no match for Huddersfield Giants, who scored 12 tries against them. So, you know, we saw, I suppose, if you like, the good and bad of Huddersfield Giants, because they played against Catalan and, you know, gifted them their first win of the season, you can say. And yet they completely annihilated Bradford the week before.
Speaking of the good and the bad, it's time for the good, the bad and the ugly of rugby league. And first of all, in the good, Paul Wellens, he became only the fourth player in the summer era of rugby league to reach 500 career appearance. So well done to him for St. Anne's. He joins Kevin Sinfield, Adrian Morley and Keith Senior in the summer rugby league 500 club.
There's not half a select band there, is there?
Tell you what, Jamie Peacock's not far away though. He reached 496 against Widnes.
I think there's a couple of players that are in the nervous 450s at the moment as well, sort of just to tucked in a little bit behind. But yeah, I mean, Peacock will hopefully reach it. He's been a fantastic signing, a great ambassador for our game, and obviously still loves his rugby league, doesn't he, with these performances this season, especially for Leeds Rhinos.
Now in the last final hooter, we have Bradford in the ugly section of this part of our show, but tonight, or today, they're in the good, because finally the Bradford Bulls saga has finally ended with the announcement of Bradford based businessman Mark Green, who's been announced as the new owner of the Bradford Bulls.
And strangely, he was the one that nobody even spoke about. We heard a lot about Mandy Kukash in the build-up to it. We heard a lot about the other guy. I think his name was Richard Lamb from London.
Yes.
Nobody had said anything about Mark Green at all, and yet he turns up and
beats
them all.
The green grass of home called Bradford.
You're not going to be playing any Tom Jones tracks as part of a tribute, are you, to him, Adrian?
It's good it's out of the way, isn't it? It's been rumbling on for far too long now, and this is where the real work starts.
Well, it does. I mean, you know, after six rounds, they're still on minus 2 points, aren't they, really, Bradford? And still struggling, in all honesty. So, yeah, they need to find some inspiration from somewhere. And maybe this will just kickstart their season, as you mentioned, and hopefully get them going to better things.
In the bad, the dwindling attendances at London Broncos. It's worrying, for the last two games now, for the Broncos. Attendances have gone below 1,500. Yeah. Not good for the club coffers.
Well, it's almost like the warming up for the Championship, isn't it? Because with some of the crowds that have been announced at Championship level, they're on a par with them, aren't they? And also, in the news, London Broncos, the chief executive, saying that he's leaving his post come the end of the month. So, you know, not a good particular time to be a London Broncos fan. And in fact, the lesser spotted breed at the moment, aren't they, really?
Tell you what, we'll get an idea of their next attendance when they had the warm-up before the game. You go to a concert or at a ground and they have the PA announcer doing his warm-up. He goes, 1-2, 1-2. There you go, that's London's next crowd.
I see what you did there. I like what you did there.
The old 1-2-1-2, what's that, 1,121. Let's see how many they get next home game and let's see how far away that is.
Or 1,200. And 12.
Is that where it was?
That's where it is. 1-2-1-2.
Never listen when there's in school, do you, Matt?
No. You were too busy stuck on the Pythagoras theorem, wasn't you?
Not too sure how London are going to try and raise their attendances, but they need to do them quickly.
They do. I mean, you know, they're not going to be able to sustain Super League rugby on those attendances. Maybe the squad isn't strong enough to sustain Super League rugby anyway, but I think they've been a hardy bunch the last couple of weeks, to be honest, London Broncos, so perhaps there is brighter times around the corner for them.
Certainly not bright times regarding reserve rugby league and rugby league, because in the open age section of rugby league, there's none of it. There's a severe lack of it, which is, in my opinion, restricting the progress of youngsters at them clubs, and it prevents players coming back from injury from getting adequate match fitness.
I certainly don't disagree with you, in all honesty, Adrian. I think that we've reached a critical mass sort of stage, if you like, with regards to reserve team rugby league. I was a big fan of the old reserve grade. Certainly growing up on the terraces at Hilton Park, my dad always used to take me on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night to watch the A team, and you got to see some good young players coming through who would eventually make their way through to the first team. You also got the chance to see some first team players who had maybe been injured and were looking to get back into match fitness again. I mean, just take the evening of when we're recording this, to be honest, Adrian, because Lee Centurions are hosting York City Knights at A-team or under-20s level, and we've got the strange situation of York City Knights actually naming two Castleford players in their ranks on dual contract for them to come back from injury. Now, this is known Super League players. I'm talking here Ryan Boyle, who's an Irish international, and the lad who used to be at Salford, the centre, who used to score a lot of tries, you know. So we're not talking stump eggs here, we're talking about, you know, real established Super League players. And how's that going to be fair? That's going to be stunting somebody's development somewhere along the line, isn't it?
Certainly is, and like I said, it's preventing players getting adequate match fitness, because it means they've got to go elsewhere to get match fit. I mean, you had the situation where Paul Wood went and played for Swinson.
It's also demeaning the competitions that are below the Super League standard as well, because basically they're saying you're not good enough or not quite ready to step back up into Super League, but you're all right, you can go and play in the other competition. No, these days shouldn't be done. The Super League clubs should reintroduce some sort of reserve grade rugby league. That is my opinion, and I'm going to stick to that as well.
For the Ugly, Neil Hodgio, Hawkinson Rovers at Chairman, is in the Ugly section tonight. How dare he criticise the match review disciplinary process? Is he just saying that because three of his own players are being currently banned?
Well, you know, it does come across as a bit of sour grapes to me, to be honest. So, you know, and this seems to be a growing thing, doesn't it, where club owners or club chairman can start to criticise the rugby league. He was big on it in one of our last episodes about Marwan Kukash over at Salford, the good doctor, as he's known to all those Red Devils fans. And I just get the feeling that, you know, they're doing it too much now. And let's face it, the disciplinary committee is a well thought of and well structured model to get former pros in, you know, so they can lend the benefit of their experience within the pro game. And we've got this sliding scale, haven't we, of punishment, where I think that, you know, it's pretty good, and it's something that I used to volunteer few years ago on one of the amateur leagues on their disciplinary committee, and we introduced a sliding scale of punishment, and it really worked. So I'm fully behind the rugby league here, and I'm just thinking that Mr. Hodgell, I'm sorry, but I think that you're wrong on this occasion, and I think, to be honest, that you should leave it to your coaching staff and people who are a little bit more involved in the game.
Well, if the players behave themselves on the field, we wouldn't have to have a disciplinary committee, would we?
Well, that's a good thing, you know. I mean, you could maybe point the finger at clubs like Hull Kingston Rovers and Catalan Dragons, who haven't had the best of discipline over the opening weeks of the season, and they're getting the just desserts at the moment, aren't they? They're getting players banned, so if they smarten up, he wouldn't be speaking about things like this, which don't really concern him.
And for the final ugly part of this section, you wanted this one, then, so you can say it.
Yeah, okay. Well, for me, it was that game between Warrington and Wigan last week.
What was wrong with it?
Oh, it was dull, it was drab, it was like the weather, it was wet, it was horrible, it was dank. I just thought that, you know, both of those sides could have been playing till midnight and they wouldn't have scored any more points. I didn't get it at all. Nice and close, you know, some really good defence. If you're a Wigan fan, you'd be putting the defence Wigan showed as part of the good. If you're a Warrington fan, you're going to be putting the fact that attack was part of the ugly, wouldn't you? Because, you know, in all honesty, Warrington didn't look like scoring other than that intercept try.
We're going to hear from Sean Wayne shortly, by the way, so we'll get his view on how he thought the game went for Wigan Warriors in that game against Warrington. We'll also hear from Brian Noble as they ended Castleford's winning start to the season in round six with a close game against the Tigers at the AJ Bell Stadium. Also interviews with Paul Rowley, who comments on the Challenge Cup victory against the Wigan St Pat's and looks ahead to the fourth round draw as well. And we've got to play a catch-up with Adam Clay. So we've got a jam-packed show ahead. Let's touch base with some of the action, shall we? You've highlighted one of the games from round five, in terms of your opinion.
Okay.
But for me, The big game from round five has got to be Casper Tigers defeating Hull FC.
It was a good one, played in front of a really big crowd as well, and Castleford Tigers winning by 19 points to 16, and 9,800 were at the gate. Shenton, Sneed and Mariano scoring tries for Castleford. Sneed kicking three goals from three attempts, and also coming up with that crucial drop goal a couple of minutes from the end. They seem to like the close finishes, don't they, Castleford Tigers, that's for sure. Hull, they had a try from Talanoa in the first half. Ellis joined him after 29 minutes on the scoreboard, and Cole Alban scored after 56 minutes, but Crooks, crucially, could only convert two of the tries. So Hull dipped and went down to a narrow defeat at Castleford.
Well, they dipped again because they went down to a narrow defeat at the hands of witnessing round six, which for me was the pick of the action from round six.
Well, it's not much of it to sum up, is there, really?
Great win for Widnes.
Yeah, again, we've had some really low scores, haven't we, during round six. Now, is that just a case of the, the clubs playing to the potential and, tackling bags out in force? I don't know, because, I mean, but it's a great result for Widnes in particular, because they won at Hull 7 points to nil. Arvan with a try, Arvan with a goal, and Gilmore, young Tom Gilmore, stepping up into the first team at Widnes and kicking an all-important drop goal 2 or 3 minutes from the end in that one.
Now, I know we've had the good, the bad and the ugly already, but I suppose we could have included the whole because they've already called crisis meetings.
How can you call a crisis meeting 6 games into the season? I mean, you look at it, and okay, it's not been the most convincing start from Hull. But if you also look at it as well, they're still scoring more points than they're conceding. So they've scored 134 points in their opening 6 rounds. They've conceded 128. Now, that could be a bit of a problem. But, now, come on. Is losing to Widnes that bigger thing these days, that if you lose to Widnes, you've got to have a crisis meeting? I didn't hear Huddersfield slamming the doors when we were over at the Halton Stadium a few weeks ago. I just think it's an overreaction, to be honest. And Hull, they are destined for better things. Whether they're a top 8 team or not remains to be seen. But, certainly I wouldn't be calling crisis meetings at the moment. I think that you should really praise Widnes, because last time they went there, they got knocked for 72 points. This time they've gone there, they've nilled their opposition. Now, that has to be one of the biggest comebacks in the memory of man, doesn't it?
History made by the Vikings, their first win at the KC Stadium. It was also the first win in Hull since 1995.
Long time between drinks then, if you're a Widnes fan going to Hull. And I say well played to Widnes. I'm at risk here of falling in love with Widnes, aren't I, with my comments over the last few weeks. But I really do think that Dennis
Betts... You're getting a bit of a club crush going on there.
I think Dennis Betts has got his act together. I really do think that Widnes Vikings, they seem to be pulling up trees for everybody.
So does this mean you're going to be burning your Lee tops and wearing a nice blue Widnes away kit?
Oh, definitely not. That shade of blue just doesn't suit me anyway.
Other wins, by the way, in round six of Super League came for Hawkinson Rovers against Bradford. They beat Bradford 16-0. Salford beat Casford 23-16. Wakefield lost out to St Helens 24-16. And we also had Leeds Rhinos defeating London Broncos.
We did, 54 points to 6 that one, and Leeds Rhinos were also able to rest Kevin Sinfield. Now, it's not often that they're able to do that. Okay, he missed a few games last season, didn't he, due to injury, but it's probably the first time in a long time he's actually taken in a game from the touchline. But it was a good victory, really powerful stuff, especially in the first half from Leeds. They were very fluent. Singleton opening the scoring after 2 minutes. There was a hat-trick from Ryan Hall as well, who seems to be returning back to his free-scoring form, doesn't he? I think he's done really well. Achurch grabbed a try as well in the first half, and we saw 2 tries, one in each half, from Jones Bishop. Hardacre crossing at the start of the second half. Watkins and Burrow also getting involved, with Hardacre kicking 6 goals, Burrow kicking 1. The Broncos, they weren't disgraced. They did try the hardest. I think they're on the improve. They got a try from Mason Caton Brown in the second half, converted by Drinkwater. But, you know, when you're giving Leeds 34 points start at half time, you're never going to win, are you?
No, not at all. So well done to Leeds Rhinos. They're back on track, aren't they, and looking really strong this year. Normally have a bit of a slow start, don't they, but this season really cut out the blocks quick, haven't they?
They have fired out of the blocks, yeah. If you look at it, the opening 6 rounds of Super League, they've won they've won 5 and drawn the other one, so they've got the best defence in Super League. Quick note here, because the second best defence in Super League is shared between St Helens, who are well renowned for scoring points, but they seem to be holding it together at the other end, and Widnes. So again, well done to Widnes.
Yeah, we also mentioned Casford. They lost out on the 100% record at the hands of Salford City Reds in round six, but St Helens continue to march forward.
They do, and you know, the fact that they're doing it at the moment without the linchpin scrum half and the
but when seeing the fact that Wellings and Wilkin were going to be the halfbacks against Wakefield, the force, it was going to be a Wakefield victory, and it was heading that way, wasn't it? But Saints really turned the screw and got the game in their favour.
Yeah, I mean, Wakefield actually built a 10 points to 4 half time advantage as well, with tries from Kermond and Lynn. They even had an early try in the second half from McShane as well to extend the advantage, but they couldn't hold out. St Helens scoring tries through Jones, Soliola, Dawson, who was at Huddersfield last season, and Greenwood as well, with Makinson scoring just after the hour mark. The only downside was Makinson's off day with the boot. He only kicked 2 from 5, but ultimately St Helens victorious in front of just over 5,000. We could add Bellevue into the ugly side of our group as well, couldn't we, because of the way that their attendances have been slashed by the local council. They've had a real capacity issue, haven't they, there, where it's been reduced to around about 5,500, which it's not enough really for a Super League club, that.
Now, I know Paul Welland celebrated 500 not out against Wakefield, and John Wilkins a good pro, but as halfbacks, in terms of speed, me and you were faster than them too.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm nowhere near the speed of John Wilkin, so, you know, that's okay. It's all in the speed of the hands, though, isn't it? So maybe I've got the, you know, the flick of the wrists and being able to pass both ways. I don't know. Still, I don't see me making my professional rugby league debut anytime soon.
Big win for Wigan against Warrington. Sean Wayne very happy the fact that his team came away from Warrington with a 12-4 victory. And I caught up with him after the game. And in Coach's Corner as well, he's joined by Brian Noble. Sean Wayne, first of all, congratulations on the win, but what a battle that was.
Yeah, good, real good rugby league game in poor conditions. I thought we aimed up, I thought we defended tough. In the first half we threw quite a bit at them, and we bombed a couple of tries, scored one, and you know, I think we were the winners over the full time of the game.
What do you think the difference was between yourselves and Warrington tonight?
I think we managed the game well. Our halves kicked well, they picked the time when to kick, they kicked long and we defended well, so I think the halves managed the game really, really well. I thought we played a really intelligent game, and you know, to come here and put 12 points on Warrington and stop them scoring, in my mind we did stop them scoring, is a great effort, you know. So I think our back rows were very good. I thought Liam Fowler and John Bateman were outstanding, so it was some real good performances, and I'm in a great mood.
Conditions weren't great for handling, but when the tries came, they were two well taken tries.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And again, that one chalked off with John Bateman, and Ian Thornley got one chalked off for a pass. You know, John Bateman's absolute try, there's no doubt about that. And that would have, you know, coming in at 8-0 up, I thought it flattered them. You know, we were by far the better team in the first half, and it flattered them greatly. So I knew that we had tries in us. In the second half, it was more about guts and determination and bottle, and the way we stuck at the task was really pleasing for me.
You mentioned a couple of your star performances, but Matty Bowen stood out for you tonight as well.
Yeah, he was good, Matty Bowen. It was good. He's getting what we're all about, and you know, them conditions are really into Matty. When it comes to dry track and things adding up with the fields, you will see the best of Matty Bowen.
And for yourselves, what kind of statements this set out now?
Yeah, you know, we've had some real negative comments made about us the last few weeks, and to show people that we can come here with a good performance and against a full strength Warrington team, it was a great effort for us. We're sure that we're going to go strength to strength. Having Mickey Mack and Sean O'Loughlin come back is going to make us even stronger. You add Jordan James and Gil Dutton in that, you know, we're going to be going well over the next few weeks.
Well, Brian Noble, congratulations on the win, but what a feisty affair that one was.
I don't know, it was a great game in rugby league. I enjoyed it as a fan, if you can possibly do that as a head coach. I think both set supporters have a lot to take away and a lot of memories to take away, which was a cracking game.
And for the win yourself, where do you think the right ingredients came from?
Oh well, we kicked the ball a whole lot better, and we got to the right parts of the field more often, and that enabled us to show our prowess with the ball. But in the main, you know, we defended our backs against a really good offensive unit, and I'm pleased about that particularly.
Do you think the game was done and dusted at 22-6?
Well, it proved that way, didn't it? But they thought they'd have a say and came back with a couple of scores, which made it a little bit more nervous. Probably on the back of some of the things that we did, I need to look at that and see where we're at and where we're not in certain parts. You know, we clocked off. So we've still got room for improvement.
Just going to say that, you mentioned you wanted an improvement in performance. Did you think you got it today?
I did, yeah. I thought it was a huge improvement. We played the top team in the competition, you know, and their form, and irrespective of names and who's in their team, you know, their form is that they were a really confident team, came here, and I'm sure they expected to take away 2 points, and we had to show the right amount of resolve as well as the right amount of skill to get what we wanted.
And for you guys, pleasing point as you're back on the winning road?
Yeah, it's certainly better than losing. We might get some sleep this week.
He will be able to get some sleep.
He was, yeah. That was a good little cracking joke at the end there, wasn't it, from Brian Noble. And it's good to see, you know, Salford getting back to winning ways. I suppose they've flattered to deceive at times over the opening few weeks, haven't they? But it's only to be expected when you make so many changes to the squad and you're trying to knit it all together. It was a real gutsy win, I thought, and, you know, they played some good stuff. I've seen the highlights. They scored some nice tries. And, you know, Castleford are really adapted their play as well and came back at the Red Devils in the second half, but ultimately Ranky Chase had the final say, didn't he, which is quite poetic, I suppose, in some respects.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Now, I'll tell you one thing, David, St Helens are not the only team in Rugby League with an unbeaten record to the start of the season. So are Leeds Centurions, and they continue their winning form in the Championship with a hard-fought game against a very impressive Crusaders team.
Yeah, you're right, it was a hard-fought game, this one, and it took a hat-trick from Adam Higson in the first half to really wrestle the advantage away from North Wales Crusaders, who then hit back in the second half with a couple of great scores. Massam scoring the first try for the Crusaders in the first half. Lawton, who's on loan or dual registration from Widnes, scored after 46 minutes. He's a big lad, you know. And then was heavily involved in the third try, which saw Johnson go away. Lee, they responded with a 90-metre intercept try from Ryan Briley. Oliver Wilkes went over just after the hour mark, and Lee finished strongly after Offerdahl, the USA prop forward, went over after 66 minutes to secure the game. First of all, Liam Kay going over after 70 minutes, and then Sean Penkovic diving over for what was eventually the match clincher, although with Martin Ridyard having a bit of a strange off day with the boot, only kicking 3 from 7, he relied on a late drop goal to secure all the points for the Centurions and send the North Wales Crusaders home with nothing. They probably deserved a little bit of something from it, but lots of ruthless...
It's a harsh game, he's rugby league at
ruthless,
times.
Ruthlessness shown by the Centurions, but a special mention this week as well to Rochdale Hornets. They've got off the losing run by coming up with an impressive victory against Batley Bulldogs. Now, in previous games, Rochdale have fallen apart in the second half in the Championship, but they held their nerve. They were trailing by 2 points to John Keir's Batley at half time. Blackmore and Greenwood scoring both of Batley's tries in the first half. Rochdale responding with tries from Ratu and Crook, the former Widnes player, also played at Doncaster, I think, many moons ago. And it took a late try from the Samoan recruit Teo to really lift it, with Crook kicking the all-important goal.
Not going to plan for Batley, is it?
It isn't, no. At the moment, they're the only club, though, who's safe. You know, they're not after a playoff position. They're not getting relegated. You know, they're in that no man's land, that is ninth spot in the Championship. But I'm sure that John Keir has got higher hopes than that of his squad.
Now, when they lost out to Doncaster in the round before, he was filthy, John Keir. My word, wonder what his mood would have been like after the Rochdale game.
I don't know, but I can't imagine John Bastian being that impressed with Featherstone Rovers either, who also went down to Doncaster. So Doncaster playing some really, really good stuff at the moment.
We've got him playing some good stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. I'm really impressed with the fullback come winger at the moment, Dave Scott as well. He's a Scottish international, quite apt really, isn't it, with a name like Scott. And
could,
you know,
have been Welch.
Well, he could have been, couldn't he? But no, he's definitely Scott. I know his dad. I've spoke to his dad, so we're all right there. I've got
has
it all verified.
Has he got a Glaswegian accent?
Not a Glaswegian accent, but I believe his dad travels all the way from Peterhead to watch all his games. You know,
That's near Glasgow, isn't it?
All I can say is I don't really know my Scottish geography, so, you know, I must apologise here, folks, but he certainly puts the miles in to see.
Well, that's last Steve McCormack where it is.
He'll probably know. Great result as well for Sheffield Eagles. They've been a little bit mixed and matched over the opening weeks of the season, but winning 46-10 against Dewsbury, who really have been, you know, tearing up trees and had a really good start to the season, that sets a marker down for me for the Eagles. And great to see Swinton playing at Sedgley Park again, I notice, and beating Barrow 44-26. Although, I don't know, with our conversation that we had before about dual contract players, about, you know, the need for some level of rugby beneath Super League first team level, Well, for Swinton, they're using Warrington players. Ben Curry scoring a hat-trick, I notice. But interestingly enough, Mick Nanning, Big Mick, 350 games up now in his professional career. He's still going, and he scored 6 goals to mark that occasion. So great to see him still.
He's a proper points machine, is Mick Nanning.
Definitely. Now, for Barrow...
Thinking about Barrow, I was thinking Bobby Goulden, he's back in the game as a head coach. Whoa, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I tell you what, I'm really pleased that Barrow have gone for the name of Bobby Goulden, to be honest. You know, he lifted the French team up to greater heights than
did
where he?
He
inherited. Yes, he did. He did. He lifted them from 10th in the world to 4th in the world. Now, that's an improvement by anybody's imagination. But he was even learning French, was Bobby. So, you know, he's heading up to Barrow. And I wonder whether he'll have to learn a bit of Barrovian, you know, to settle in there. But no, in all seriousness, I'm really pleased to see Bobby back in the game. I think that, you know, he's one of the game's great characters. I think he's got a lot to offer, both as a coach and a motivator, to be honest. And it'll be really interesting to see how he goes. At least he's not got Des Johnston looking over his shoulder at Barrow these days. So.
No, I thought Barrow would have gone with a more experienced coach who knows the Championship inside out and everything Bobby Goulden does.
Well, I disagree there. He's had 2 separate spells at Rochdale.
When?
Well, they were a couple of years since.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Game's moved on since then, David.
But if you look at it as well, we've also seen Anthony Murray up there. Now, Murray had no professional experience before taking the job at Barrow, so at least they have got somebody in there who is, you know... He's experienced on the international front. An international coach doesn't come available every day of the week, does it?
At least there would be something to talk about in Barrow anyway. It'd be nice and lively up there.
Not a lot to talk about in Whitehaven or Workington, though, unfortunately. Halifax winning quite comfortably up at Whitehaven. Workington, they were leading 16 points to 4 at half time against Keighley. They were nailed on for victory, but Keighley, they really did come back and nipped it right at the end, 24 points to 22. And Keighley, they're another team that's seems to be on the improve. They've got 10 points out of a possible 15 at the start of the season. I'm sure they'll be chuffed with that, and they're comfortably in the playoff positions at the moment.
Now, in Championship 1, South Wales Scorpions, they might be partnered with Wigan, but the Wigan effect is not having a good effect on them because they're losing games left hand over feet, aren't they?
Yeah, unfortunately, in their opening 3 games, they've scored 21 points. They've conceded 123. This latest defeat was 76 points to nil against York City Knights. Now, York, with all due respect, they seem to be the team that is going to be really pushing for the title really at that level, and instant promotion back to the Championship. But it is a bit worrying for South Wales Scorpions when they're losing by such a heavy margin, particularly when they do have, like you mentioned, this link up with Wigan. We saw 2 Wigan players playing for the Scorpions. They didn't really have that much of an effect, but I feel that we must really raise our glasses here to Presley, because he scored 4 tries.
Is that Elvis Presley?
Elvis, yeah, well, we can do, you know. But
okay.
But I'm thinking of a different king of York City Knights at the moment. I'm thinking,
I like what you did.
I'm thinking of Johnny Presley. He crossed for 4 tries at the weekend against South Wales Scorpions. And Ben Hardcastle was also in the points. He kicked 10 goals and scored a try as well. So
is he related to Paul Hardcastle?
I don't know, but I think he scored more than 19 points in that game, that's for sure. Also, an honourable mention here for Hunslet Hawks. They were leading 34 points to nil against Oxford at half time and did really well to win 46-20. But a bit of a spirited comeback in the second half from Oxford, and they're certainly a side that will score a few points, are Oxford.
Okay, then you were at Lee versus the Crusaders, and let's have a player catch up, shall we? As you call it, with Adam Clay.
Joined by Adam Clay, North Wales Crusaders. Frustrating game that, I would imagine, for you in many respects, because I thought you played really well.
Yeah, it was frustrating, but we've got to build on the positives of what we did in the game. Look forward to battle next week where we're hoping to win the game. So it's good for us that playing against Lee undefeated this season, and we know that we can compete with teams like that, so it's good. You've got to take a positive from the negative in losing.
And there was a lot of positives there as well. I thought your halfbacks did extremely well, you know, in Delimore getting you around the field, and Mulsdale before he went off.
Yeah, lots of positives. We've said it ourselves, where when we click, we know we're going to play well. We've got quite a few new lads in the team, so just a case of each game we're getting better and what have you. So I think when we click, then somebody's in for a good hiding, hopefully.
You're one of the new lads, but you're not really, are you, from your spell that you had on loan a couple of years since?
Yeah, it's good at the crew, you know, you just feel like you're at home. All lads are really good and what have you. So, but like I said, it doesn't feel like I'm a new lad, because I've already been there before, so I know everybody, so it's good. But all the new lads, like I say, all the new lads have settled well. It's really good.
It is good with the way that the game's developing as well. I mean, your home crowds are up as well, aren't they, coming into the Championship?
Yeah, the crew. I'll be honest, I think the crew fans are the best fans I've ever played in front of. There's been times when...
They never shut up.
No, there's been times when... I remember playing Doncaster away. We got beat by a big score, and you go into the bar after it and everybody, they're all singing your name. And I mean, I get embarrassed at things like that, you know. But the brilliant, the best fans I've played in front of, definitely.
Tell you what, that's a proper northern saying, that, isn't it? Someone's going to get a good hiding.
I know. Wasn't it cracking? That's one of my sayings, that, isn't it? But it's really nice to hear of players like Adam. And he had it a bit rough at Lee a couple of years ago. And when he sort of came out to Super League with a bit of a bang, started off his career really well over at Salford, scored something like 4 or 5 tries in 3 or 4 games, I think, for the then City Reds, as they were known. But I'm really glad to see that Adam's starting to get his career back on track. And you know, they have got a decent squad there at Crusaders and have fully deserved to be where they are on the table. I mean, they've played 4, won 2 and lost 2, but I think that they're definitely a playoff contender this season, are the Crusaders. And by the sounds of it, Adam Clay is really enjoying playing in front of those fans as well, isn't
he? I like the way he calls them affectionately the crew.
The crew, yeah. The crew.
The crew.
And he's part of the crew, you can say.
Now, we were part of the Challenge Cup crew the other week. We had one round of the Championships because the road to Wembley started. Now, our team going into round 3 were Wigan St. Pat's flying the flag for the amateurs. They had a tough-looking game against Leeds Centurions. But before we talk about that, let's just give you the winners from round 3, shall we? There were wins for Batley, Doncaster, Dewsbury, Oldham, Halifax, Huntslet, Keithley Cougars, Barrow Raiders, Workington Town, North Wales Crusaders, Rochdale Hornets, Sheffield Eagles, Hemel Stags, Swinton Lions and York City Knights. Now, a lot of them scorelines were pretty one-sided, but there was one close game, and that was when Barrow Raiders were pushed all the way by the amateurs from Leeds. Milford Marlins very nearly pulled off a shock at Henley, but just lost out 18-10.
Yeah, Milford have been a good cup team for a number of years now, so it was no great surprise that they really did push Barrow Raiders all the way. I think they were inspired by the surroundings, weren't they, because they switched the game to Headingley, and Watmore and Oxterby scored tries for them, with Oxterby kicking a goal in the first half, and it basically took 2 goals from Dominic Speakman to twist the game in Barrow's favour, with Dalton Grant, the man coming in from South Wales this season, scoring 2 tries as well. So yeah, a bit of a close run thing, that one.
You mentioned the fact they moved it to Henley. I wonder if they had it on their own pitch, we might have been talking about a cup upset.
Well, I bet they'll be wishing that they did hold it on their own pitch now, wouldn't they? But there's a case of whether it meets minimum standards, and I think that's been the case with a lot of these amateur clubs, who they took the decision to move the games to the nearest professional ranks, didn't they? I noticed that Normanton, for example, they played over at Featherstone. There was a game played at the KC Stadium in Hull for Hull Dockers, and there was even one played at Whitehaven's ground. You know, so it just shows that perhaps the amateur clubs, as good as they are, it would be great if they could develop the home grounds a little bit more, wouldn't it? Because then you would really have some great cup ties.
Now, our club, Wigan St. Pat's, they decided to switch their game as well. They decided to play it at the Leeds Centurions Stadium to take Leon in their own backyard. We were there for it, and it's our build-up. Here we are, David. Our road to Wembley's reached the third round stage of the Challenge Cup, and our team from round 2 carrying the baton for the final hooter are Wigan St. Patrick's. And we're here at the Leeds Sports Village as they take on Leeds Centurions.
Yeah, I'm glad you've joined me, because obviously this is my home ground, isn't it? You know, so it's really good to be here as an away supporter, really, I suppose, on a home team ground. Very strange.
Big occasion for the Pats boys.
Massive occasion for St. Pat's, yeah. I think if you're an amateur player and you're wanting to get on within the game, you know, you've got to test yourself against professional opposition, and if you can win your way through, like Pats obviously have done, then yeah, it's great for them. It'll be a real fantastic occasion for Pats tonight.
To reach this point in the competition, the Pats are seeing off the challenge of Wigan St Mary's and Rochdale Mayfield, but the game against Leeds Centurions is going to be a different challenge for them, isn't it?
Massive. I mean, they play two league games as well at the moment, St Pats, at the time we're recording this. First game they won against Wigan St Jude's, another battle of the borough that was, 44 points to 14. And last weekend they warmed up for this particular fixture with a 38-4 drubbing at home to Wathbrow Hornets, so they're going to have to really raise their game this evening.
You've certainly done your stats on the Pats. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, you know, this is why they pay me the reddies. I don't get paid.
You mentioned for their game against the Jews, it was the Battle of the Borough. But this is certainly the Battle of the Borough. It's Wigan versus Lee.
Yeah, it is. And these sides have met once upon a time, again in the Challenge Cup, similar sort of occasion. Back at Hilton Park, though, that one, 1997. A little bit of a memory locked away in my memory banks. Remember Stuart Donlan on the coaching staff at Salford Red Devils? Well, it was his first team debut. He scored a hat-trick in 8 minutes.
Sure remembers that fun. It's going to be a great occasion, and whoever gets into round four will look forward to the challenge of maybe taking on the Super League big guns. Now, you know when you mentioned the Salford Red Devils, how tempted was you to say City Reds?
Oh,
because
so
I do it
tempted.
Every time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm usually correcting myself, and in fact, I think we did. I'm going to give away a bit of a secret here and say that I edited...
Oh, you cheat.
I edited the Salford.
You're trying
City
to make
Reds
us sound professional?
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, no. I was trying to make you sound professional. We can do. I know you wouldn't think it, listening to us.
As an away fan at Leeds, did you enjoy the pie?
I didn't get a pie.
Well, I got one.
Did you?
Yeah, it was nice.
How did you manage that?
I bought one.
See, we don't end up getting that where I was. You know, it was just unusual.
Yeah, I went to the kiosk and bought one. Well, one of Leeds' finest state pies.
That's why they pay you the readies, shall we say.
As it was, the road into the Challenge Cup ended for Wigan St Pat's. Lost out to Leeds Centurions 74-6. It was expected, wasn't it? But the Pats made themselves proud, I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. They were probably unlucky not to add to just the one try that they scored through Sanford. It was a really nice effort over on the left-hand side. He drifted across field and cut between two or three defenders with Smith converting from out wide, and that really did almost sting the Centurions into action. They eventually led by 34 points to 6 at half time. A couple of tries for Adam Higson, who seems to be on a bit of a run at the moment. Tommy Goulden, well, he was awesome. I mean, he must have been having memories of when he used to play against Wigan St Pat's as a Lee Miners player. He was that good on the night. We saw a try from Ryan Duffy, two from Sean Penkovic, who basically played in a dinner jacket all the way through, and Ryan Briley.
He looked rather dapper as well.
Well, yeah, Ryan Briley. We didn't see him on the scoreboard, but he kicked 11 goals. So, you know, comfortable victory for Lee in the end, that one.
Now, it means Lee, the team that carried the baton for us on our road to Wembley, as they go into round four against a possible Super League tie. But before we hear the draw, let's hear from the winning coach, Paul Rowley. You said, although they got the win, it wasn't a spectacle by any means.
It wasn't a spectacle by any means. So, you know, the old adages come out, you know, don't push the pass, don't try and score on every play, but as much as you say it, they still do it. And obviously, yeah, it's a great scoreline. Obviously, it's interesting to see that there was jump for joy that we didn't get that last try in the end. And I know the Buckeyes had 70, so they just squeezed in if they did on with the 2 points. But yeah, scorelines go. It's obviously a good start to the Challenge Cup run.
You're in the fourth round, that's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. And we posted a few tries. We're not bouncing in there, we're full of joy. It's just one of them things, you got to get past it, you got to do it. We scored a lot of points on the way, so we weren't fluent and a spectacle. But the tricky opposition, because it's not your bog standard game. It's hard to get up for us. You know, lack of atmosphere and all that, but it's not a lot to be said, really. It's I'm running out of adjectives, I think, or I can't think of any good ones to do it justice. So it's just about being in the next round.
That's exactly what they did, unfortunately for Lee. Now, whether they won to the Super League club, I'm not sure. Well, they didn't get one, but they've got a nice tie against Rochdale to look ahead to.
They have, yeah. I mean, I think that's a good tie, actually. You know, you've got Rochdale, who are hoping to get to better things. And I actually saw Rochdale play against the University of Gloucestershire All Golds as well in the another game that particular weekend. And they were rampant. They won by 76 points to 4. So, you know, they're certainly not to be trifled with at the Hornets, and will certainly test Lee. What it does mean is that Lee playing back-to-back on successive weeks. The rest of the draw threw up some pretty good ties, though, I must admit, with 10 of the Super League clubs being drawn against each other. So when I'm reading on the internet and on Twitter and, you know, on various other media about the magic of the cup's gone, you have a draw like that, and I think it's belting. So let me run through. We've got Huddersfield taking on St Helens. What a tie. Dewsbury at home to Wigan. Chance of an upset there for Dewsbury, perhaps. Don't know about that. But Wakefield take on Leeds. Then we've got Rochdale and Lee, like was mentioned. Batley at home to Castleford. Doncaster at home to the Hemel Stags. Barrow travel to Keighley. Featherstone host North Wales Crusaders. Another all Super League tie here. Hull Kingston Rovers at home to Warrington. Hull at home to Salford. Bradford against Oldham. Hunslet take on Workington. Catalan are at home to London Broncos. Halifax take on Widnes with hopes of a giant killing. And Sheffield play against London Scholars. And finally, Swinton hosting the York City Knights.
TV game for that one, by the way, is going to be Huddersfield versus St Helens. That's the pick of the round for me. Warrington versus Hull Kingston Rovers now. Paul Cullen still has nightmares about that game when Warrington lost there a few years ago.
yeah. And then there was that narrow win, wasn't there, for Warrington just the other year, where it was a Golden Point Lee Breers drop goal.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that was just an awesome day, to be honest, and really good cup tie. The one that stands out for me is Hull against Salford. I'm wondering whether Hull will be having more crisis meetings or whether you know, Marwan Kukash will be singing from the hymn sheet.
Now, when they're having these crisis meetings, are they just discussing what biscuits they're going to have with the cups of tea?
Well, I tell you what, the next time that we're anywhere near Hull, I dare you to ask that question.
No.
Of Lee Radford.
Don't even dare me to do it.
Because you probably will, wouldn't you?
That'd be probably just sling me off the Humberside Bridge.
That'd be just you, though. You would just ask a question like that, wouldn't you? No, I mean, I think that's a great tie. But again, from a more championship point of view, I think certainly Dewsbury against Wigan, I mean, it's going to be an all-ticket affair there. And also Batley against Castleford as well. Castleford won't relish going to the Love Rugby League Stadium, will they?
No, it's all a nice plug for the Love Rugby League website as well.
See, that's what we're all about, isn't it?
Now, one thing, does the Wigan coach driver know where Dewsbury play?
Oh, I don't know. We should ask the Lee coach driver, because we've been to Dewsbury quite a lot, to be honest.
Is it the same driver? Is he doubling up?
You never know. You never know. Dual contract coach drivers, it'll never catch on.
Hey, don't mention that one, and they will do to save costs. So it's always great to have the Challenge Cup on board, and we'll be there with Lee at Rochdale, hoping that maybe Lee will continue into round five, or maybe Rochdale might cause an upset.
Well, you never know. I mean, they beat Batley recently. As I mentioned, they beat the University of Gloucestershire All Golds, and you never know. They're in the hat, aren't they?
Plenty to play for in the Challenge Cup. There's plenty to play for in the league as well, and enjoy your rugby league if you're going to be taking in the game over the next couple of weeks.
You've been listening to the Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson, only on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and LoveRugbyLeague.com.